Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Minister Sanders, and today is May the 24th, 2015. If you've listened to any of my programs in the past, what I'm going to talk about, I've alluded to it in several programs or more. Matter of fact, I'm always trying to bring it up and where I can kind of repeat it enough so people can get into it, understand it, or something I may have said once that they didn't quite get it, and I'll talk about it again. And you know, sometimes you'll say, well, you know, I read this passage of scripture, I did this or whatever, and it never did occur to me such and such thing and so forth. And when I go back over it or read it again, I see something that I miss. So now what I'm going to talk about, We talk about who Jesus was, when did he come into existence, who was the God back in the Old Testament that was talking to the people and so forth, and the angel or the person or the God that led the children out of Egypt and so forth. This is piggybacking on that, and a repetition of something I've already said, but I've got something else to add here, which is very important, talking about this this subject. So we want to talk about you know, who brought the children out of Israel, who was in the burning bush, talked to Moses, and who took Moses up to the mountain to give him the Ten Commandments and so forth. And the scripture always said that God, God did this, or God said that, or what have you. And then in other scriptures, you'll see where Jesus said, "No man have seen God, or no man have ever heard His voice or seen His shape." So this seems to contradict itself. But I'm going to show you where it did not, the Bible did not contradict itself. Now, what I'm going to do right now, let me see. Let's just start. This is not the first reference to God or what have you, talking to somebody or conversing or giving information or what have you back in the Old Testament. But I'm going to, first of all, I'm going to go to Exodus 3, and we're going to talk about what I call the burning bush experience with Moses. Exodus 3, it says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb." Now, let me give you a little background on how Moses ended up in Midian in the first place. How he ended up in this place. if you will read back in Exodus, I don't have the scripture right in front of me right now, but when Moses, when he was, you know, he was raised up by in the house of Pharaoh by Pharaoh's daughter, and so Moses went out to visit the children, his brethren, and he saw one of the brothers was fighting or whatever, arguing like you know, communities will do, and so he asked them, why are you guys fighting among yourselves, why are you striving and whatever. So one of them replied to Moses, because he referred to something that happened before. He replied to Moses, what you gonna do? You know, you gonna kill me like you did the Egyptian the other day? And you see what happened was Moses had found an Egyptian misusing one of the children of Israel. He was still in bondage. Just a little bit before, he talked to these two guys about fighting. And Moses, he killed the Egyptian and hid him or buried him in the sand or what have you. And his brethren, they knew it. So when they, when he tried to, you know, talk to them about what they were doing, one of them made this statement about, well, you're going to kill me or whatever, like you did the Egyptian the other day. And then Moses was afraid, because he was afraid that the information was going to get out to Pharaoh or what have you, that he had murdered one of his probably one of the soldiers. So that's how that started. So Moses fled. He fled from there, and he ended up in Midian, way away from there, and you know, he was a fugitive. And he took refuge with Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he also married while he was there. He married one of Jethro's daughter. That's another story. But this is how it got started. So Moses, it said here in Exodus 3, first verse, it said, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And second verse says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. It was burning and burning and burning, but it wasn't burning up. And verse 3 say, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, and he said, here I am. Now, this is what I want you to notice here. This is very important. May not seem important to you. You may not have noticed it in the past, but this is what I want you to notice. Okay. Verse 2 says, now, the angel, how it's phrased. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush will burn with fire, but bush will not consume. Now, what I want you to remember right here is it said the angel of the Lord. Now, verse 3 said, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt. Verse 4 said, and when the Lord, notice this, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, now notice the next word says, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and Moses said, here I am. Now, what am I trying to get to right here? What I want you to consider and I want you to think about right here is and concentrate on. Now, this whoever this was, it was the same person verse 2, where it said, and the angel of the Lord. Same person. And then in verse 4, it said, and when the Lord. It didn't say the angel there. It said, and the Lord saw. Notice that. Saw that he turned aside to see. And notice the next phrase here. God called out unto him out of the midst of the bush. Now, you say, well, what are you trying to get? What I'm trying to see, what I'm trying to get to you here is the angel of the Lord. The Lord, when the Lord saw, and then he say, God called him out of the bush and said, what I'm trying to say, what I'm trying to show you right here is this was the same person. Now it was God, but God was working. God works, and that's the way he works, through his angels. That's why it said, and the angel of the Lord. In other words, this angel came in the name of the Lord. He came, at first Moses is concerned, or anybody, whoever, if it was an angel of the Lord appeared to you or talked to you or whatever, it's as if God himself had come out of heaven off the throne and came down and was talking to you face to face, because he was God's mouthpiece. This angel was God's mouthpiece. He was appeared in God's stead. He was appeared to do. He was God's hands and feet, so to speak. See, this is where people get to misunderstanding that. When the scripture said in one place that nobody have ever seen God, nobody ever heard his voice, nobody seen his shape and what have you. And right here in other places it said, well, the angel of the Lord said this, and he appeared and he come up and what have you. This is what I've been trying to get over, and that's why I keep kind of repeating it in different ways to let people know it was not God in person that came down from heaven, but he sent his angel to be in his stead and to speak for him. Now let's go a little further in this part. Verse 5 said, and he said, draw not now hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Now this was the angel of the Lord standing in the place of God. Verse 6 said, moreover he said, I am. Now listen to what this angel saying. In the place of God, for God, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, notice this, for he was afraid to look upon God. When God sends a person, a spirit, or an angel in his place, it is as if you are dealing directly with God, and it is so, because this angel is speaking for God. He's a mouthpiece for God. He's an authority for God. So this is how that works. And verse 7 says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down. Notice what this said. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Havites and the Jebusites and so forth. Now this is, you notice it, I came down from heaven, but God did not come down in person. He sent his angels down in his place, but it was as if it was God himself come down. So it was not the Father himself, it was not Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ did not exist before his human birth. And this is what I tried. Some people teach that these angels and this God in this Old Testament was Jesus Christ. Some just say that it was the Father. But it was not Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ wasn't even Jesus Christ didn't even exist at that time. Now, I'm going to show you another scripture here. Write this down or go back over it. In Exodus 23. Now, these are the same angel, the same angel of the Lord, the same God angel, this angel coming for God or whatever, same thing. That's who they dealt with. That's who Moses dealt with back in the Old Testament. Now, Exodus 23:20. Notice what God said and what the angel said in the place of God. But it was God for all practical purposes. Exodus 23:20. Behold, I send an angel before thee. Notice what it says. I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Now remember, back here in the burning bush, when Moses had the burning bush experience, he told him what he was going to bring them out and where he's going to take them to, in the land of Canaan and so forth and so forth and so on. The same God, the same angel of the Lord speaking here, and he's telling you, actually he's telling you what he's doing. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Send an angel before him. Now, this is what I want you to see. Verse 21. He want to tell you about this angel. This is one of the most important things here I want you to get, and you can put all the rest of it together. Verse 21 says, beware of him. Beware of that angel. And obey his voice. You notice what I told you, that this angel was speaking and he was in the place of God? Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. That's it. That's That's the whole crux of the matter. My name is in him. In who? God's name was in the angel. It says, beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. See, he told you back up in the first verse, then verse 20, I will send an angel before thee to keep you in the way. And right here it says, beware of him and provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. In other words, it's, this is all practical purpose. This angel is God. He said, "This is me." So if you provoke him, he won't pardon your transgression, because it's me. I won't pardon your transgressions. So beware of him and don't provoke. Verse 22 said, "But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all," notice that I speak, "then I will be an enemy unto thine enemy, and an adversary unto thine adversary. For my angel go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Havites and Jebusites and so forth, and I will cut them off." You see what I'm saying here? So when you see or you hear a scripture, Jesus Christ over in the New Testament saying nobody have ever seen God, nobody have ever heard his voice, ever seen his shape, this is what he's talking about. God always sends somebody, send an angel in his place. But it's God. But it's as if it's God himself. That's what happened to Jesus. When God sent Jesus, and Jesus was talking all this stuff to these people, and to them it was nonsense, because they was asking him, Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus Christ said, have I been so long with you that you've not known me? You know what he said? He said, me now. And they were saying, show us the Father. And he said, I've been so long time with you. And have you not known me? This is the same thing. What Jesus was telling people, he came in the Father's stead. He came as if it was the Father. That's why he says, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Now, let me show you something here. In John 5, let's go to John 5:37. Remember I told you about Jesus said nobody had seen the Father or heard the voice or whatever, seen the shape. I'm going to show you here. John 5:37 said, "And the Father himself, which has sent me," Jesus was talking to them then, "has borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent him, ye believe not." But now the main part here is the 37th verse of John 5, where Jesus said, "You've not heard the voice," whatever. That's what I told you. But now you go back in the Old Testament, and the scripture keeps saying, God said this, God said that, Moses talked to God face to face. It was not God, personal, the person of God, It was the angel in God's place, which was the same thing. But when Jesus said, "You're not seeing the God, the Father," he made the God that's in heaven. He's still there. He was there then, and God don't come down himself and necessarily walk in the sand and get his feet dirty or whatever. It's always an angel of the Lord, of God, to do these things. And that's how Jesus, when he came in the Father's stead. So, let's find out the best we can here. Who was it? I mean, it really doesn't matter. But who was it? If you want to, you know, if you want to get technical about it, and I don't think the Bible necessarily tries to hide it, but it is hidden anyway for most people. Now, let's go to Daniel. Let's go to Daniel 10:13. And I'm just going to read the scripture here. It won't make a lot of sense because I'm not going to go into details on this in the context of the whole thing, but I think it will make sense to you when I read these two scriptures. Daniel 10:13 said, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia." There was an angel, another angel that was on his way to give Daniel an answer from God, that which Daniel was praying to God for. And he said that the prince of Persia, which was Satan, withstood him 21 days. 1 and 20 days. Withstood him 21 days. In other words, he fought with that angel. He fought with Satan. Because Satan was trying to prevent him from bringing this answer to Daniel. And he said here in verse 13, say, "But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." Michael came to help this other angel when he fought so long with Satan, really the king of Persia, because he was the leader, and he was this king of Persia was it's just like now. We see all the stuff going on in the world and all these leaders and what have you. You see the people, when you look at them, you see a person, but you don't see who's behind the people, which is Satan. Satan is running most of these governors and governments and presidents and so forth. So in verse 10, I mean chapter 10:21, Daniel says, "But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture, of which there is none that holdeth with me of these things but Michael, your prince." That's what this angel was telling Daniel. If you will go to let's go to Daniel 12, and we'll see another case where Michael speaks about Michael here. Daniel 12:1, and said, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for," notice this, "the children of the people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never since was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one shall be found written in the book of life." Now, I just wanted to throw that in and that to show you about where it says, "At the time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children." So, this is what I'm trying to get across here. This, the angel that was in that bush, the angel that led them out of the children out of Israel, I mean out of Egypt and so forth, and across the Red Sea and whatever, was probably Michael. It probably was Michael. If you will look up the name Michael, if you will look up the definition of the name or the name Michael, Michael means who's like God. Now, some of us, the translators and people, some thought that when it says who's like God, it was a question. But his problem is not a question, it is a statement. Michael, who's like God? He is like God because he came in God's stead. Now, back here in Deuteronomy, let me see, Deuteronomy 34:6. It said, "And he buried him." Let's talk about Moses. It said God buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. Now, you want to know why? What did this got to do with Michael? Now it says, if you read Deuteronomy 34, I'll tell you what you do. Just read 34, probably start somewhere in verse 3 and on past verse 6, and you'll get the whole story. That God took him there. He says the Lord took him there and buried him. Now, in Jude 1:9. See, it doesn't give a lot of detail back there about what happened in Deuteronomy 34:6 when it said the Lord buried Moses. But in Jude 1:9, now these apostles and so forth, they had scriptures available to them, and we don't have all of the writings of the Old Testament, so a lot of things that we don't have access to. But in Jude 9, it says, "Yet Michael," because he was talking about another thing, but they brought Michael in to prove the point. But it said, "Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil," now with Satan, "he disputed about the body of Moses, but does not bring against him a written accusation, but said the Lord rebuked thee." Now, why did I bring it in? Because the same being in Deuteronomy 34:6 who buried Moses in the valley, it said God was it was probably Michael, because in Jude says 1 and 9 says Michael contended, they had a, he had a fight or argument, Satan did, about the body of Moses, because God buried Moses there through the hand of Michael, the angel, and where people wouldn't know where he was, not even till this day. But the Satan wanted to do something different, wanted Michael to do something different with the body of Moses. Because, you know, people, those people, in other words, great as Moses was, those people, if they had, if he had just died where they knew where he was, and they was in charge of burying him or mummifying him or whatever, because they was, they knew all the laws of burials of the Egyptians, how to mummify people and so forth, they would have probably mummified Moses, put him in something, and they would have been carrying him around with him and whatever, and all that would have been was idolatry. And so God took him through the hand of Michael and buried him in this valley. And they had this argument, Satan and Michael was had this contention about it back here, what Jude was telling us about it. But see, back here in the Old Testament, in that part, it doesn't tell us about what had what took place. It just said that he just buried him there. Well, let's see, my time's about up. See you next time.